3 funerals and a wedding. I said I was torn last week whether I should start what we call the Christmas series, you know, Christmas stories. I hate to label them that because they're some of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible, and we sometimes seem like we only get to preach them at Christmas time. So I don't want to call them Christmas stories, but I had started a sermon, and it ended up being carrying over into 2 weeks. So we did, instead of 3 weddings and a funeral, we did 3 funerals and a wedding. Amen. So we finished that up last Sunday. So this morning, I told you that we would try to start our Christmas series. So this morning, I want to preach to you Silent Nights, the title of my sermon this morning, Silent Nights. But I need your help this morning. So if you have your device or you have your Bible, get it out. I'm going to need you. Don't be silent. No, I'm going to let you speak. Amen. Hallelujah. This is not a silent crowd, so normally, until they get the microphone. So I want to read a couple of scriptures, and our overhead is not working this morning because of our, number one, because we have background up for our Christmas program. And number two, when I turn the overhead on and then I bring up the computer, then the overhead goes down. And then when I shut down the computer, then the overhead comes up. So if anybody knows the secret to that, please share after service and we'll get that straightened out. Amen. But it's okay because it's difficult with the background and stuff. Anyway, and Jesus preached without overheads and worship teams and microphones. And he preached to groups of 5,000, and they somehow still heard what he had to say, right? Hallelujah. So we're good. We're good. However, I would like to do a couple different translations, so you can help me out with that. I would appreciate it. So let's just for a moment jump back to the Old Testament, to the book of Isaiah. And we talked about a few of these things in our Bible study on Wednesday night. But how many know the book of Isaiah is full of scriptures that prophesy the coming of the Messiah? Isaiah 7 and 14 says, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son." And he begins to prophesy that. And I'm sure in the day of Isaiah, when he began to prophesy such foolishness, that he was probably mocked and called a false prophet and probably referred to as the crazy man. And he probably was preaching a gospel that was out there. I like him already. And so because that doesn't seem like that's something that could come to pass. Amen. But Isaiah began to prophesy, and then he gets over into Isaiah chapter 9, and he talks about, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government, somebody say government, shall be upon his shoulders. And then he has many names. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Hallelujah. And so we're comforted in these scriptures. And if you know anything about the book of Isaiah, you know that the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah are all about woe is me. Woe to Israel. Woe, woe, woe. A lot of woe in the first 39 chapters of the book of Isaiah. And I believe if I'm not mistaken, there's 39 books of the Old Testament. But when he hits chapter 40, something begins to change. And Isaiah 40 begins by saying, comfort ye my people. Say to them that their warfare has been accomplished. And so he begins to say, switch the theme of the book from woe to comfort. And Isaiah chapter 40 begins, comfort ye, and we've talked about this before, it's the Handel's Messiah. If you've ever read Handel's Messiah, it begins with Isaiah 40, and it goes all the way through John the Baptist and ends up with the resurrection story and the Hallelujah chorus. It's a powerful piece of music that was written by Handel, and it's performed a lot of times at Christmas and at Easter, but it's a sermon preached through music. So it's a powerful piece of work, but in the end of chapter 40, does anybody know the last verse of Isaiah 40, what that verse is? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. How many know something's changing? Look at somebody beside you and say, something's changing. Hallelujah. Anybody ready for some change? Be careful what you ask for. Hallelujah. I'm ready for some change. I'm ready for something to shift. Hallelujah. I mean, no, there's a shifting that's happened in the book of Isaiah. From all the woe, woe, woe is me to comfort ye my people. Because they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. How many know Isaiah prophesied these prophecies 700 years before they come to pass? Now, 7 minutes is a long time if you're waiting on God to speak. Amen? 7 days, 7 hours, 7 months, but 700 years is a long time for a prophecy to come to pass. Probably he was labeled a false prophet. Probably people forgot what he said. Probably even himself may have questioned, God, did you speak that? Or did I speak that out of myself? Hallelujah. And then we get to the last book of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi. And the last part of that says he's going to turn the hearts of the children to the fathers, the hearts of the fathers to the children, lest I come and smite them with a curse. How many know the last word of the Old Testament is curse? But the last word of the New Testament is blessings and favor and God's goodness to us. So we have from the last that we hear of the prophets of the Old Testament about a span of 400 years where there is no open word or prophetic word recorded that God spoke anything that was recorded in the scriptures for about 400 years. How many know that's a long, silent night? That's a long time not to hear from the heavens. It's a long time not to hear anything prophetic from God speaking anything new. How many know God was not speaking anything new? He was just working on what had already been spoken. Hallelujah. So I want to talk about silence today a little bit. How many know sometimes when God is silent in your life, those are hard times to walk through? Amen. Anybody ever walked through some silent times in your life before where you just said, Lord, I need to hear you speak. I need to hear your voice. I need you to show up. I need you to show out. I need you to show off, God. I need something from you. I was looking over some of the words I told you before, Pastor B. Lamont, this week, and one of the things she said is trust the big Holy Ghost. Trust the big Holy Ghost. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. And so this week I've been really trusting the big Holy Ghost. I would just pray and say, big Holy Ghost, I need you. Today, I need your presence. I need your spirit. I need your comfort. And I can tell you, he showed up. The big Holy Ghost showed up. Thank God. Thank God that he shows up when we need him. And with that being said, I do have her book here with me today, Despair to Glory. If you've not read it, it's a really great read. It's not very long. But if you would like to read her book, I have it. And you're welcome to take that with you. But I mean, when we pray to God, we want to hear God speak. Amen. We want to see God move. We want to know the demonstration and the power of God. We don't always understand his ways. The scripture says his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And we should be thankful for that. We should rejoice because I have a whole lot of stinking thinking sometimes. So I don't want his thoughts to be my thoughts. I want my thoughts to be his thoughts. Amen. And so I want to begin to think on a higher level. I want to begin to think on a supernatural level. I want to begin to think outside the realm of my understanding. Amen. Because when I begin to speak sometimes out of my infinite understanding, I try to explain God away sometimes in a way that's not, that I can't articulate what God's doing or what God's saying. Pastor Jeremy probably can relate to this. There's sometimes you can read a scripture and you know that there's something in there, but I just can't quite articulate the fullness of really what God wants to say in that. And so I say, Lord, give me eyes of understanding and a voice to be able to articulate your heart. Because I really don't want to get up and just have another scripture, another sermon, another going through the motions. I want to articulate the heart of God. And so as I was praying this morning, I said, Lord, let your anointing speak and let your heart be heard. Because I really want you more than anything not to hear my voice, but hear the heart of God in what we say and what God is saying in the heartbeat of God. And so it's a very long time. And so somebody read me, Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3 in the Amplified, if you have it. Anybody have an Amplified Bible in here this morning? Can pull it up on your device. I need Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3, and verse 20 also in the Amplified. And now there, my eyes teared up, and I can't see what I'm saying. Hang on. In the Amplified, you got it.
I will stand at my guard post and station myself on the tower, and I will keep watch to see what he will say to me, and what answer I will give as his spokesman when I am reproved. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly on clay tablets, so that the one who reads it will run. For the vision is yet for the appointed future time. It hurries toward the goal of fulfillment. It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait patiently for it, because it will certainly come. It will not delay. Verse 20. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth hush and be silent before him.
Okay. And can somebody find verse 20 in the Message for me also? I love that. The scripture in Habakkuk says, though the vision tarry, what? Wait for it. Though the vision tarry, wait for it. And then she comes and says, the Lord is in his holy temple. King James says, let all the earth keep silent before him, or keep silence for him. Amplified says, let all the earth hush. Hallelujah. And Terry says, shut up, earth. She's heard me preach this before. But how many know we have to sometimes remind ourselves that the Lord is in his holy temple. And this earth has to be silent sometimes to hear what God wants to say to us. And do you have it in the Message also? Go ahead.
But oh, God is in his holy temple. Quiet, everyone. A holy silence. Listen.
God is in his holy temple. Quiet, everyone. A holy silence. Listen. Now that scripture is going to take on more meaning here in just a minute, because God truly is in his temple. And he says to the earth, silence, silent, be still, listen. Now I probably have way more time being silent and listening than I do talking. But how many know there's sometimes in your life, I remember my grandmother Ethel used to sing a song, be still and know that I am God. And I've never forgot that verse because she sang it, and I think it's a precious thing. But the scripture says, be still or be silent and know that I am God. Even in our silent times and our times of waiting, our times of pondering, and our times of waiting on God to do something, sometimes we just have to sit silently before him. And if you ever have opportunity to just sit and listen, maybe for some of you guys, some of the best time just to sit silent and listen to God maybe is out in the woods, or maybe out on a boat, or maybe out for a walk, ladies, or maybe in your car, or while you're doing whatever it is you're doing. But sometimes the most powerful times in my life are my silent times. Because one of my favorite things to do, the girls were laughing at me the other night, because when I'll travel to Morgan's, you know, I'll try to listen to scriptures, or I'll listen to sermons, or I'll listen to some praise and worship or something, because I take that time to just fill my mind and my heart with the word and with the scriptures. And when I do that, the Lord will start speaking to me. And literally, I've had to pull off the road sometimes and get my phone out and make a memo in my phone, because God's saying it to me and I don't want to miss it. Or I don't want to forget what God's saying. So my phone has a talk to text. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So I talk to text going down the road like this, because I don't want to forget it, and I don't want to be distracted. So every now and then I'll talk to text and lay it down, because I don't want to forget what God's saying to me. Because sometimes in my silent times, those are the most powerful times in my life, where I'll be quiet long enough for God to say something. Amen. Sometimes we got to be quiet long enough for God to speak in our life. And what happens is the scripture says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my God and my Redeemer. How many know our heart and our meditation needs to be focused on him? But many times it's focused on grumbling, murmuring, complaining, or stressing. Amen. Anybody else in the house with me this morning? Yeah. And so the confession of our mouth sometimes keeps us from being silent enough for God to speak and us to hear what he wants to say. So I love that out of Habakkuk when he begins to prophesy, though the vision tarry, wait for it. And remember that the Lord is in this temple, and this earth has to just sometimes be silent before him to just hush and hear the whisper of God. Somebody read me 2 Peter 3 and 9 out of the Amplified Bible. 2 Peter 3 and 9 out of the Amplified. And then somebody else get me Galatians 4, 4 through 5. I'll let you guys help me look these up this morning, and then we'll go from there. 2 Peter 3 and 9 in the Amplified. Go ahead.
The Lord does not delay.
The Lord does not delay. As though he were unable to act. As though he were unable to act.
And is not slow about his promise.
And is not slow about his promise.
As some count slowness.
As some count slowness.
But is extraordinarily patient
toward you.
Not wishing for any to perish.
Not wishing for any to perish. But for all to come to repentance. Now it says God's not slow to act, but he's extraordinarily patient. How many are thankful for that this morning? That he's extraordinarily patient with me. Hallelujah. And he's not slow to act. Now if we compare that with the scriptures and the time frame that I just told you, it seems as if God is slow to act. Amen? 700 years seems like a long time. But somebody read me Galatians 4, 4 through 5. Any version. King James would probably be best, but.
But when the right time came, God sent his son, who was born of a woman, and lived under the law. God did this so that he could buy the freedom of those who were under the law. God's purpose was to make us his children.
When the right time came, King James says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. Now that's powerful. How many know it's the right time? When the right time came, or when the fullness of time came, hallelujah, at the moment designed, God did not delay, God did not tarry, but when the fullness of time had come. And that brings us into the book of Luke, because what you need to understand is when God begins to speak to Zechariah and Mary and Joseph and all of those in the New Testament, how many know they have been waiting for many silent nights to hear God speak, for God to fulfill his promise that God would not tarry, that God would not delay, but God would do and perform everything that he said he would do. He had promised the Messiah to come. He had promised that one would come and would rule and would reign and would redeem them from the curse of the law. But sometimes it seems like the vision tarries. But Habakkuk tells us, but even if the vision tarries, wait for it. Because in the fullness of time, in the appointed time, in God's timing, he sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. That's powerful. Hallelujah. And so we sometimes question God's actions, and we kind of question God's ways. But how many know what we need to do is trust God's timing in our life? Because sometimes our timing doesn't line up with God's timing, but every time that I've tried to rush God or push God into doing what I need to do, and God delays me, I can look back and see where God has had me for a time and a season right where he had me. And had I missed that season or had missed that moment or that time period, I would have missed a part of who God was trying to mold me into, who he was trying to make me to be, and the contacts or connections that God wanted to connect me to. Amen? And so we sometimes don't understand God's time, and we want to push God's time into our time, but it's not his time frame. But when the fullness of time has come, hallelujah. How many know the fullness of time has come? God has sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, what? That he could redeem us from the curse of the law. So we find ourselves then over in the book of Luke, chapter 1, and everybody can turn there to that one. Message, she said, says it redeemed those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. I like that. Hallelujah.
Isaiah 41 starts out, keep silence before me, O islands, and let the people renew their strength. Let them come near, then let them speak. Let us come near together in judgment, who raised up the righteous man from the east, called him to his foot, gave the nations before him, and made him rule over kings. You know, sometimes, you know, when you talk about even when Malachi, there's, 400 years of silence. If you're going to change people's mind, because one of the other scriptures you read there was that he wants all to repentance. One of the things I've been teaching in our church is repentance, but it's the mind change of repentance, where you change your mind and your thought process. If you're going to change the thought process of people, first thing you have to do is have to silence some old ways of thinking. And what he's about to do, and I hope I'm not preaching your message. there has to be some times of silence, so that when you begin to speak something new, they're not so used to hearing the old ways that they're able to receive a new way of thinking. And so I believe the reason why he's wanting some silence for a little while is because he's about to speak something brand new that's about to change the course of human history.
Absolutely. Amen. We can go home now. That's where I'm going, but that's good stuff. Amen. How many know if it seems like if God has seemed silent, then maybe he's up to something big. If God is talking, then we need to be silent, because sometimes you just can't articulate or understand what God is doing. And sometimes you just have to stand back and let him do it. In Luke chapter 1, I want to start at verse 5. And this is the portion of scripture that after 400 years of silence, God starts talking. And after a long time of silence, a period of silence, and God starts talking, how many know you better tune an ear to what he has to say? You better listen up to what God's about to do, what he's about to say, because he's up to something big. And it says, there was in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. I love that. That in itself is a powerful statement. If you are able to walk in all the statutes of the Lord and his commandments blameless, that's a pretty powerful statement. But they were upright, they were living right, they were doing right, they were doing all that God had spoke to them. But it said, but they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they were both now well stricken in years. If the Bible says you're old, you're old. They were well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. Now, you know, I don't want to get into a lot of history, but you know that there were so many priests at this time that they had to literally draw straws, or they cast lots to find out who would get opportunity to go into the temple. It mostly only happened one time in your life, and when it did, you stayed there for a two-week period, and then you would never have that opportunity to do it again. It would turn around, it would be another person's opportunity to do it. So he draws the straw, he gets to go into the temple. It's his lot to serve in the holy place of the temple at the altar of incense. And it says, and the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense. And his job was to go into and offer the prayers and the praise of the saints that were waiting outside praying. And he would offer an incense unto the Lord. And that incense would go up to heaven. And they would pray that God would hear their prayers and that God would answer their cry. And he was standing there at the time of incense, and there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell on him. Why was he so fearful? Why was Zechariah so fearful? He was supposed to be alone. Nobody else came into that holy place except that priest at that time. And also, when an angel of the Lord or a messenger of God would come, they would say, "Do you come in peace or do you come bringing trouble?" Yeah. Yep. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn unto the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Now remember, that's what Habakkuk just told us. Malachi. The last part of Malachi tells us that he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to the fathers, and make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said unto the angel, "Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years." And the angel answering said unto him, "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God." He probably said it a little bit more like this. "I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season." And the people waited for Zechariah and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless or silent. And it came to pass that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed to his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, hid herself 5 months, saying, "Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men." So here we have Zechariah in the temple. He gets to have that one moment in time where he gets to go into the temple and he gets to offer incense. The prayers and the praise of the people he would offer unto God, and he would serve there for about a 2-week span, and then he would go home to his home, never having that opportunity again to serve in that temple in that capacity. While he is in there, the angel of the Lord shows up, Gabriel. Not just any messenger, Gabriel shows up and says, "I am Gabriel who stands before God." And he begins to speak things to Zechariah, and he says things like, "Thy prayers have been answered." And I don't know about you, but if God said that to me today, I would probably say, which prayer is that? Because I got a lot of prayers in, right? I prayed prayers this morning as we had our breakfast together, and we prayed for people that we know that were in need. How many know every day there's daily prayers that need to be answered? So when God would step up to me and say, "Your prayers have been answered," I would say, "What prayers are we talking about? Which one of those prayers, right? Are you talking about the people? Because I'm the priest standing here offering the prayers of the people unto God, and they're waiting on the Messiah. Are you talking about the prayers that I've prayed daily that just didn't come to pass, like Elizabeth who's barren? Are you talking about all the daily prayers I've prayed? I don't know, God, which prayer you're talking about." And God begins to speak all of them. And he said, "Your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a son. At her old age, she's going to have a son. And he's going to be a voice. And God's going to use him to turn the hearts of fathers to their children, and hearts of the children to the fathers." And he begins to speak of this son that God is going to deliver. Georgia told us Wednesday night it was John. The baby's name was John. She had it figured out that the baby's name was John. And so he begins to say all of these things to Zechariah. And Zechariah, like most of us in this room, said, "How? How can this be? How can this be possible? Now, I don't know about you, but I would be in the silent club. Because I'd be one of them to say, okay, Lord, how can this happen? He said, because you did not believe, because you questioned, you did not believe, you will be silent until it comes to pass, and you will not be able to speak until you see this thing come to pass. I mean, you know what God needs to do sometimes is silence our voice of unbelief. Silence our voice of questioning. Silence our voice till we can't talk ourselves out of what God has promised that He's about to do. Because what we do so many times, we can receive a word from the Lord and talk ourselves out of it before we leave the church building. Or run into somebody who will talk you out of it for you. How many know the words of our mouth sometimes will talk us right out of what God has spoken to us because we start to reason and say, Lord, how can these things be? How can this come to pass? And do you know, Lord, that my wife is well stricken in years? That's King James' way of saying she's old. She is past her prime. She missed her moment. We prayed and it didn't happen. Do you know? Do you know my situation? She done had the flashes. She done moved on. She done had that men on pause. Hallelujah. And so he begins to question, and the scripture says, but I'm going to leave you silent until this thing comes to pass. But even more powerful, Jeremy, than our words and our doubt and talking ourselves out of that, what I believe God is doing is silencing the last of an old order priesthood. And he said, I'm not going to release your tongue and I'm not going to open your mouth until the first thing that you pronounce is grace, because the name John means God is gracious. And before his tongue is ever loosed, he sends for a writing tablet. We'll read it here in a minute. And they said, what we want you to do, it's called him Zechariah, and he sends for a tablet, and he writes the name John. And when he writes the name John, which means grace, or God is gracious, his tongue is loosed, and he begins to speak of the goodness of God. Now, I love this because the scripture says after he gets through, I don't know if he's halfway through his term, I don't know where he's at in that two-week time frame. But let me tell you what, that 2 weeks probably seemed an eternity until it's time to go home and tell Miss Elizabeth that I had a visitation from an angel, and you're not going to believe what he told me. And I can't tell you with my voice, I can't articulate it. I'm going to have to demonstrate to you what God is speaking. How many know God needs some people who are going to stand up and not with words articulate what God is doing, but in their actions and in their deeds and in their motions and in their body, they're going to begin to demonstrate and activate what the Word of God is, and it's going to be life in action. Hallelujah. Because how many know probably things hadn't been working for Zechariah just as well as they hadn't been working for Elizabeth? But how many know you don't need a whole lot of words to get a baby? Amen? You need some intimacy. You need some time of coming together. You need some time of connection. Hallelujah. But how many know if God is going to birth something in us and through us as the church, and if we're going to birth sons into the kingdom, it's not going to be by our words. It's not going to be by our great sermons. It's not going to be by our doctrines, our theology, and our opinions on things. It's going to be by times of intimacy and coming together and connection where life comes alive inside of us and we begin to birth something out of us that's supernatural. It's not even anything I can do. It's nothing I could have made happen, because if I could have, I'd have already done it. But when God steps in, God begins to do something that is supernatural in us. And it doesn't take a whole lot of words to explain it. Now, maybe he went home and did a little sign language. You and me, we're going to have a baby. Did you ever see that Lucy episode where she's trying to tell him she's going to have a baby and he just don't get it? But probably Zechariah is trying to tell her what's going on. You know, you and me, baby. And she says, you, old man, crazy? Crazy. What you talking about? What you thinking, old man? Hallelujah. But how many know what God begins to do sometimes, and this is what's so powerful, sometimes what God wants to do, I can't articulate it. I can't put it in my own words even to say it like I know that God wants to say it. Because in my unlimited and finite mind and heart, I can't really express the heart of God. But there's sometimes that he has to silence our voice enough to say, you're not going to do it with words, Lisa. You're going to do it with actions. You're going to do it with being God in the flesh. His hands, his feet, his heart, his mind, his mouth. And I'm so thankful that his word says that if you'll open your mouth, I'll fill it. I'll give you the words. I had to trust the big Holy Ghost this week. And I got to tell you, the big Holy Ghost moved. The big Holy Ghost moved. When I said at that funeral yesterday, my heart was pounding 100 miles an hour because you'd never guess that I'm an emotional person. I know that. But my struggle is I'm too tied with my heartstrings to situations. And I knew I had to stand up for someone that I loved very much. And I'm praying, big Holy Ghost, I need you right now. And I'm telling you, I sat on that pew and I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit come down over me to the point I just said, that's it. That's the Holy Ghost. It worked. It worked. And the song started. And by the time I got to the pulpit, I felt the Holy Ghost. And he helped me through situations that I did not know how to articulate in my own self. But the power of the Holy Spirit spoke instead of me and through me. And my cry has been, Lord, let your voice be heard. Silence my voice, but let your voice be heard. And so Zechariah goes home to Elizabeth. And somehow, some way, there's a connection, an intimate connection, and God begins to birth something supernatural. Now, here's another thing that I love about this. It says Elizabeth hid herself for 5 months. Hid herself for 5 months. Here's my take on that. Not because she's embarrassed to be an old woman who's pregnant, but because she's not going to let anybody talk her out of her miracle. Because we're in a day, Liza, where we don't have ultrasounds and blood tests and that little strip you can, you know, test to see if it turns pink or turns blue, if you get a yes or a no. There's not, and let me just say, Miss Elizabeth doesn't have an indicator coming every month that lets her know that she missed her cycle, because she done cycled out of there. Come on, let's be realistic. So the only way she knows that she truly is going to have a baby is when something starts to grow from the inside out of her. And until she starts to feel the movement of that baby, she doesn't know until then. And about 5 months, if I'm right, is about the time that baby and life is start going to move in her. And let me tell you what, once I feel it move, you can't convince me of anything else. You can't talk me out of my baby. You can't talk me out of my miracle. Because at 5 months, when she began to feel movement, she said, you can say anything you want to say now, because I know that I know that I know something supernatural was happening in me. And it's about the 6th month, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but it's about the 6th month that Mary gets a visitation and God begins to speak something supernatural to Mary. And I don't want to preach all of that this morning, but he begins to speak to Mary and say, you know, you're going to conceive. And she said, God, how can this be? I don't know a man. And I don't know how Mary didn't end up speechless, because she questioned too. But how many know she was in a priesthood that had to articulate it? She was just a womb who had to conceive it. And when he says, I'm going to do something supernatural. And he says to her, but let me tell you, you got a cousin Elizabeth. And God has visited her too, and she's going to have a baby. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to do exactly what Mary did. If God begins to speak something to me so outside of the realm of my comprehension and my understanding, and if God begins to speak something supernatural to me and I don't understand it and I can't figure it out and I really don't even think it can happen, I'm going to saddle up my donkey. I'm going to pack my bag and I'm going to visit Miss Elizabeth, because if this is true and God is doing something supernatural in her, I'm going to connect myself with somebody who's hearing the same thing I'm hearing. I'm going to connect myself with somebody who's feeling the same thing I'm feeling. I'm going to go find out if God really is up to something big. And she gets herself to Elizabeth's house. And the scripture tells us before she even gets to Elizabeth's house, Elizabeth hears the salutation of Mary, because Mary is so beside herself that she's so excited, she don't wait till she knocks on the door. She comes running up the hill to Miss Elizabeth's house, hollering, Elizabeth, Elizabeth, it's me, Mary, a salutation of the Lord. And the scripture says, and when Elizabeth heard the sound of Mary's voice and heard her salutation, the baby leaped in her womb, and she knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God was birthing something inside of her. And what he was birthing in her was grace and truth. And God truly had fulfilled his promise. And even though the vision had tarried, they waited for it. Hallelujah. And when she hears the sound of Mary's voice, her baby leaps in her womb. And from that point on, you're not going to talk me out of my miracle. Hallelujah. Because I might not have a way of censoring it. I might not have a way of testing it. But once I feel it, experience, and what's moving inside of me, you can't take it away from me. And you can't talk me out of it now. Hallelujah. And the scripture tells us that Mary stays with Elizabeth until her baby is born. Hallelujah. She probably was helped even deliver the baby and bring it into the world. Something about that, Aaron, gives me a trust factor that says, I am embracing the promise of God. And if God can do it for Elizabeth, then he must gonna be able to do it for me. I believe that's the moment that gets Mary the confidence to go back home and say to Joseph, I am with child. And while he was trying to figure out how to put her away, which he had every right to do, an angel knocks on his door and said, don't bother putting her away. This thing that's being done in her is not being done by man. It's being done by the Holy Ghost. And you're going to call his name Jesus, and you're going to call him Emmanuel, God with us. God among us, God through us, God in us, a God who is with us, tangible, touchable presence of God. Hallelujah. I believe that gave Mary the confidence to go back home and say, it doesn't matter what everybody else said. I have heard from God, and I have seen God, and I have held in my arms the one who would prepare the way for the Messiah, and his name is John. Hallelujah. The scripture says that when they birthed the son, they brought him back into the temple to dedicate him to the Lord, to offer him unto God. Then everybody in the temple said, we're going to call his name Zechariah. We're going to name him after his daddy. We're going to call him after the order of the priesthood that he's been among. We're going to call him Zechariah Jr. We're going to label him what everybody else has been labeled up to this point. And it's at that moment that Zechariah says, I need something to write on. Somebody, give me something to write on. And they hand him something to write on and said, his name is John. And at that moment, Zechariah's tongue is loosed. when he begins to confess that we're not going to call it Zechariah Jr., we're not going to call it old priesthood, we're not going to call it what used to be, we're not going to call it old covenant, we're not going to call it yesterday's thing, we're going to call it that God's doing a good thing, God is gracious, God is about to birth a season of grace, and he's going to be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, because what the law was to the old covenant, Holy Ghost is to the new covenant. And now this John is going to come and usher in grace and truth. Hallelujah. Powerful, powerful moment in time. Silent nights may seem long and may seem for a season, but in the fullness of time, God is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent and hush and quiet before him. Because if God is silent, you better listen, because he's about to do something big and something powerful. John's voice and Zechariah's voice in his mouth is no longer heard that we know of from that time on, but grace has just come on the scene. God's graciousness, God's man who will usher in and prepare the way of the Lord for the Messiah, full of the Holy Ghost. Not only did John come with grace, but he came full of the Holy Ghost, which is the entrance, the comforter, the way into all that God wants to do in the new covenant. Hallelujah. See, God didn't do away with the law. He didn't do away with the prophets. He didn't do away with it. He said, I come to fulfill that. And he come to introduce and to usher in a new kind of government, which is the Holy Spirit that lives in the governor's man. The governor lives in the mansion. Hallelujah. And he said, it will lead and guide you into all truth. Do I have to have words written on a stone to know how to live? No, I don't, because I have a heart. I have conviction. I have the Holy Ghost. So if you want to know if it's okay and you can get it past the Holy Ghost, it's all right with me. Because the Holy Ghost will not misdirect you, it will not mislead you, and it will not lead you into anything that is destructive, harmful, or against the will of God in your life. Trust the big Holy Ghost in your life. Trust his power, his presence. And if God is silent, listen. If God is silent, listen. Because he wants to speak something, and he may just want to do it in you and through you, and birth something big, hallelujah, that will change not only your life, but will change the course of history and will change nations. I believe God's releasing a voice, a prophetic voice of a priesthood in this day that's going to begin to speak grace and God's graciousness that will usher in a move of the Holy Spirit that will change nations. Do you believe that this morning? Hallelujah, I believe it. I believe that, and I believe God wants to do something big and something powerful in and among us. Stand to your feet this morning. Hallelujah. Silent nights. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth a son born of a woman, born under the law, that he could redeem us from those who had been kidnapped by the law. That's powerful. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. Can we sing Silent Night, Beth? Sure. We can even do it without music if you want to.